two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why, hello there. It's your old pal, Sarah Silverman, and I'm back with a brand new season of the Sarah Silverman Podcast. On my podcast, I am talking about everything. Politics? Yeah, we get into it. Favorite sandwich shop in L.A.? I know a few spots, and I'm going to tell you about them. I'm also going to be talking to you. I will be reacting and responding to listener voicemails in real time. Let me tell you, things can get weird, and I love every second of it. Weird is my comfort zone. The newest season of the Sarah Silverman Podcast is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
Everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Let's Talk. I am your host, Jamie Premack Sullivan, and I am joined by my co-host,
me, Jackson.
And this week we are talking about red flags, error messages, warning signs. Okay. There is a saying that says red flags are moments of hesitation that determine our destination. If you ignore the red flags, embrace the heartache to come. There is an epidemic right now that is happening, Jackson, of people ignoring red flags, warning signs, internal gaslights that are on, people pushing relationships, friendships, situations, themselves to the brink because they are so profoundly empty that they would rather have something of nothing than nothing of nothing. And I have never in all the years that I have done Coffee Talk see more people that I am exposed to, that I get messages from, that I read comments from, ignoring red flags at such an alarming rate. And again, they are moments of hesitation. It is something in you that there is an internal voice, gauge, intuition that says, don't do it, don't read it, don't post it, don't text it, don't send it, don't take it, don't do it. And then we do it. And there is something happening to people right now where at higher rates than I've ever seen, they are ignoring that voice.
Do you think it is kind of like a post-COVID, are people giving less of a shit, sort of? And so they, just about everything across the board, and that includes themselves, so that they're willing to put themselves in these situations with these people that have these red flags. And they're like, well, that is a red flag, but, you know, now that we, given all that we've been through, the whole world, is it worth the trouble of me making a big stink now over this red flag?
Here's the thing. Any red flag you ignore only becomes a problem for you later. Like, but I'm seeing it where it's affecting people in every part of their life. You know, they're ignoring red flags with their health. They're ignoring red flags with their mental health. They're ignoring red flags with their children, with their spouse, with their job. I think you might be onto something in that people were living at such a heightened sense of fear during COVID that they were making allowances for things they wouldn't typically allow.
Right.
Except that much like our spending habits, where like where we created new habits during COVID, we've also created new emotional and mental and physical habits. And I'm ignoring red flags has almost become a new habit for people. I don't know what's coming down the pipe. I'm not going to address this. I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to go see a doctor. I'm not going to confront my spouse. I'm not going to answer that. I mean, it's an epidemic.
Can I share a line from a TV show that really speaks to me?
Sure.
It's from BoJack Horseman. When you wear rose-colored glasses, all the red flags just look like flags.
Okay, that's pretty profound from a cartoon horse.
Exactly.
Okay. What are some signs you might be ignoring red flags? Jamie, how do I know if I'm ignoring red flags? I'm so glad you asked. You have gut feelings that won't go away. You have gut feelings that won't go away. Something's nagging at you. You keep ignoring it, but it's still there. You sent an email you shouldn't have sent. You sent a picture you shouldn't have sent. You saw something on someone else, you know, something. And it's nagging you. And you can't get it to go away. You are ignoring a red flag. You doubt everything your partner says. You don't believe them. You're living with, operating a business with, best friends with, sleeping with someone you don't really believe. 9 times out of 10, when they say something you think in your mind, I don't believe that to be the truth. I don't think that's where you were. I don't think that's how you spent that money. I don't think that's what you were doing. That's a red fucking flag.
And in that moment, you are complacent with not believing it. You're not saying, hold on a second. Do I believe? Is that true what you just told me?
Right.
You just let it go.
Right. Because you're complacent. And this is what I'm talking about when I say it's an epidemic right now. Your sleep is disturbed. You are actually losing sleep. You're waking up early. You're waking up in the middle of the night. You're tossing and turning for an hour before you go to bed. What are you ignoring? Because sleep is directly correlated to your emotional well-being. It is a reflection of your emotional and mental health. So if you're sleeping really well, you're probably not ignoring red flags. You ignore people. You ignore friends. You ignore loved ones. You have text messages and you're avoiding conversations. That is a red flag. That means you're not setting boundaries in your life. That means you're not having the difficult conversations. You're avoiding doing the work in your life. That is a red flag. You would rather just ignore a friend than say, hey, your incessant text messaging during the workday is a problem for me. You're avoiding the hard conversations. That is a red flag. And it is so dangerous, the level in which we are allowing these things to go on. You are always putting your needs second. I am guilty of this at times, especially within my own household.
I don't know about within my household, but just in general, I tend to do that with people.
Are you a people pleaser?
100%.
Is it manipulative people pleasing, meaning you are kind to them and you do things for them because you have a want? Like you want them to like you, you want them to include you? Or are you just kind and doing things for people because you just, that is genuinely who you are? Because there's a difference.
You're right. And I think it is.
Get honest.
No, absolutely. It's not, because I thought you were going to say, do you do it so that other people will do things for you?
Oh.
No, not that.
Okay.
Do I want people to like me? Yes.
Okay, that's manipulative people pleasing. That is a manipulation. I am going to do for you because I have a want, even if that want is to be liked.
I might even call it a need. Like, I need to be liked.
Do you?
I mean, if that's, I'm disliked, I feel something. And if I'm if people are indifferent to me, I don't feel something necessarily, but there is a, almost like a, there's more that could be there. I've always been, you know, the class clown or the someone who liked to entertain because I wanted people to want me to be around. Is that selfish, perhaps?
Well, it's not selfish, but it does have a manipulative tone. Because when you are a people pleaser, hear me out here, guys. When you are a people pleaser and there is a want attached to that, even if it's just to be liked, that is manipulative because you are essentially saying, I'm doing this for you because I have a need or I have a want. You're not actually doing for them to do for them. Do you see? And so people go, well, but to be liked, that shouldn't be, everybody wants to be liked, but not everybody people pleases to be liked. Some people want to be liked and they just want to be liked, but they don't take that step to people please to be liked. That is where the manipulation comes in. And I know some people are listening right now going, holy shit, that is an aha moment for me. I people please because I have a need or a want. And then I feel a way when I do for someone and they don't like me or they don't fulfill that, right? Then I resent being a people pleaser. That is because you have a manipulative need or want attached to your pleasing.
I'm not going to say it's impossible to separate them, but it feels very difficult because I do get enjoyment personally out of inspiring smiles in others, okay, right? I know they're not stupid, though, unless they're a child, right? They know what made them happy in that moment. They know they're going to associate it with me. And I know that, too. I can't just ignore that. That's a reality, right?
Yes, but it is the intent in which you please others. If you go into the people pleasing like, I'm going to do this because I want them to like me, that is, even though it's not malicious, mm-hmm. it is still manipulative.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives is the whole point. Each week I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
So I feel compelled to people please, I think. I do associate it with being liked and being treated well.
Associate or need? There's a difference. Do you have a need to be liked? And is it attached to your people pleasing?
They're connected.
Okay.
One is not, does not cause the other. They are connected.
I'm going to give you an example, and this is going to be a very bizarre example.
Okay.
But I want you to follow me. I had a boyfriend in college who loved to eat pussy. This is what he said before we started dating. This was like his shtick. Okay. It was like, he was that guy. Like, I just love it. I just love what it does for the woman. I love watching her so turned on. Like, it's not even about, it's for me. Like, sure. I get, right? He was that dude. And ladies, I know you're laughing right now because we've all met that guy, right? The guy who just loves it so much for her. It's such a turn on to see her so turned on. Yeah, we get it. Right. Okay. So the first couple of times he presented it like, I just want to go down on you because it's such a turn on for me. I want nothing. I have zero attachment to this. I'm doing it for you. Well, who the fuck am I to say no? Sure thing, buddy. We're dating. You're great. We have chemistry. You're the guy that just wants to eat pussy 3 days a week. Okay, I'm here for it. And there's no strings attached? I'm 21, 20. This is getting better by the second, right?
Right.
Well, a couple of months into this, I start getting attitude from this guy. I start getting like the deep sighs as I roll over in my post-coital bliss, right? Cheeks flushed, happy girl. I'm about to go to sleep. And I hear, ugh. And I'm like, what is the problem? Well, I mean, like, I'm fucking going down on you 3 times a week. Like, could you return the favor? Wow.
Yeah.
Because you spent weeks selling me on the fact that you just wanted to do that. That was your thing. It wasn't even about me. It was about you. You got off on it. You were so turned on by it. It was so your jam. And suddenly it's a problem.
Right.
You're resentful, right? It goes into a manipulative, attached need to service.
Which would be a red flag.
Which is a red flag.
Now, in that specific scenario, he had a very transactional approach, which is not how you approach any relationship, I think, at all.
Well, look, I mean, let me just be clear. We had other times where we fooled around. He, you know, it wasn't like we dated for months where that was the only thing happening and I was the only one to ever get off. We had an actual relationship.
Sure.
But he set it up like, for example, if you say to someone, I love to cook, I want to cook, and I'll be the cook, and then you become resentful of cooking all the time. Well, you didn't, the foundation was off. You can't be resentful of a positioning. You can't position yourself as a people pleaser with a manipulative need attached and then not feel liked by someone you're doing something for. And suddenly that now it's a problem.
I completely do not expect to be liked because I people please. That's a mistake. That's a red flag. Huge.
Okay. Do you keep score? Because that's another red flag in any relationship. Do you keep score?
No.
Do you keep score with people that you do things for, that you spend time with? If you pick up the tab for someone and at the next dinner,
not even
they don't
bit.
Reach for the check.
For me, it is that there is an infinite possibilities of things I can do for people to make them like me more. There is no limit to that. I want the entire world to like me as much as they possibly can because people like to like people.
Oh my gosh, I don't have that. I don't fucking care if I'm liked. I really don't. I am not a people pleaser at all. In fact, I'm a bitch.
No comment. I'm kidding. That was a
no,
joke.
No, true. No, that doesn't bother joke. Me, by the way, because I know that you don't really think that.
No, I don't.
I truly don't have the people pleasing gene at all. Now, I'm generous. I'm loving. I show up for people. I pour into people. I mean, fuck, I've been doing Coffee Talk for 7.5 years, 8 years in August for free.
Right.
I just have conversations with people and pour into them and tell them I love them every day for free. I don't, I'm like I said, I'm generous. I show up for people, whatever, but I am not a fucking people pleaser at all. If you don't like me, let me tell you what, that is okay.
I know that about you, and I wish I could be that way, because if I knew someone disliked me, currently I'm at 100% everyone likes me. That's not true, but if I like
no,
knew
you're likable.
If I knew someone outwardly disliked me for whatever reason, that I would want to fix that reason unless it was unfixable.
Like, oh, I could give a fuck. And you have an eager desire to be liked. In other words, I can smell it when I okay. get around you. Now, listen, but you,
no, I believe
but you. You openly admit that you yeah. are a people pleaser.
Which is how you end up in manipulated scenarios where people take advantage of you, I think.
Yes, but you also manipulate and you have to know that because you have an emotional need connected to your people pleasing. It is to be liked. You are already setting an expectation at the feet of the person you are doing for, whether they understand it or not.
I think that assumes that I intend to cash in on being liked and I have no intention of doing that. I need it. I need the, like a dragon needs gold. I'm not going to spend it. I just want all the affection.
Likes?
I want as much affection. I've always been someone who loves affection from people, but in such a way that it's like, this is dopamine. This is happiness.
Do you? Okay. Whoa.
Right?
No.
Like when you're with your family, you're
okay,
happy.
But there's a difference because what you're saying is you require that from the general population.
The more I know a person, the more I need it from them.
Okay. Do you care if I like you?
Yes.
Really?
You're my boss.
Okay, but I do like you, but
if you didn't like me, you should fire me.
Why? If you're good at your job.
I mean, but if you didn't like me, there must be reasons behind that. And like it would make working with me on a daily basis more difficult.
Well, no.
You could find an assistant you liked, is what I'm saying. If you
sure.
didn't like me.
Absolutely. But my point is I don't care if you like me.
Well, I do.
Well, I appreciate that. And that's a bonus but I don't, it doesn't impede my, our ability to work together. Cause I don't think you hate, I think it, there's a difference between like someone is offensive or someone makes my working situation uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't have a desire to be liked by you. I think you do a good job. You get paid for what you do. You like, we grow together. We learn together. Now we happen to like each other. We have a good time together, but that is not required for me to keep you employed.
Well, that's part of because we didn't go into this wanting a friendship. We went into this wanting an employer-employee relationship.
Yes, which I know probably people are listening going, but didn't she just say like eat pussy 18 minutes ago? Yes, but Jackson knew what this was when he signed up, so don't feel like he's been, you know, sabotaged.
We met before I signed up, so yeah, I was like,
yeah, you sure fucking did know. I don't have that. I'm just saying, for the record, I don't give two shits
now,
if people like me.
I think some people might interpret that as a red flag. Because it means.
Oh, I'm interested to hear what it means to you.
Okay. Like, I'm your employee, right? We don't need to like each other. We just need to do our jobs.
Right. Respectfully.
Respectfully. This is a business of relationships, though, right? If we had the option of being liked by, I'm just throwing out there, Jeff Bezos owns Amazon. He'd be like, we're like, you could have a friendship with this guy, but he has to like you. We would want that.
I understand that, but I don't have a care attached to it. I may have a financial interest attached to it. I may think financially this is going to benefit me if Jeff Bezos likes me, but okay. I don't have a care and my self-worth is not attached to that. Listen, there have been times where I've met someone and someone says like, oh, so-and-so just doesn't like you. And I'm like, what? And then I'm like, all right, well, on to the fucking next. There are so many people on this planet. There's Jeff Bezos, and then there's Warren Buffett. Then there's Bill Gates. So if Jeff Bezos doesn't like me, Warren Buffett will like me. And if he doesn't like me, the British guy who owns Virgin Airlines will like me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So I'm going to take back what I said about being a red flag, because you actually are so not needing to be liked, which is I think it's a good thing. I think it's admirable, but it's to the extent that even if it was like gonna make all your dreams come true, but you had to like put in the effort to be liked, you'd be like, hell no. And
well,
I like that.
Well, to some degree, like, I mean, I put in the effort to be liked by my mother-in-law almost to the point of exhaustion. Because it mattered to me that the grandmother of my children liked me. She was going to like me come hell or high water. And I didn't have a self-worth attached to it because I understood that everything about me in her mind was like what was wrong with the world. A woman who cursed and had a fucking career and probably had sex with men and women and came from the North and like all of the things that in her mind were not proper, not like what she, listen, every mother has in their mind what they have in their mind for their children. Who am I to judge what she wanted for her son? She gave birth to Michael. She could want whatever the fuck she wants for Michael, but my self-worth is not attached to her and right. or to that. But I was not going to have somebody grandmother my children and not like me. So I was willing, see, now she's older and I respect that.
Right.
I was willing to speak my mind. I don't roll over, but I still speak my mind. I still let her know how I feel respectfully. I don't let her walk all over me. And my self-worth is not attached to her liking me, but it is more harmonious and healthier for everybody that she does, that I did the work.
So it wasn't self-worth, it was just value, which you recognized in the kids having a grandma.
Absolutely.
That makes total sense.
Family value.
Yes.
And I am her favorite. And I will go on record to say that. And she has a lot of daughter-in-laws.
And similar to that, speaking of red flags, a big one that people talk about, one that we talk about in the opposite form of being a green flag for me, if a man does not have a good relationship with his mother, it is the number one red flag.
Yes. For the most part, but I would like to say, that a man who can set boundaries with a narcissistic or abusive mother is very sexy to
me. That's a generalization, that, of course.
Yes. I do think, let me just modernize what you said, because
please.
I think people have been saying that like for decades and decades and decades. Yeah. I think what I would like to say is a man who doesn't make his mother a priority or doesn't make the effort for his mother is a red flag.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And each week we are sitting down to talk all about life's twists, turns, and absurdities on The Deep Dive.
From exploring the depths of TikTok, which is our only news source, to navigating the complexities of grief and loss, we are just two best friends behind a mic processing life together.
This podcast is all about finding the silver linings in the madness. So get ready for unfiltered conversations about motherhood, careers, pop culture, and everything in between.
Here at The Deep Dive, we're all about community. We believe in the power of sharing experiences and the strength that comes from supporting one another. And we would love to have you with us.
So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
People love to pretend that there are simple formulas for living your best life now. Eat this and you won't get sick. Manifest it and everything will work out. But there are some things you can choose and some things you can't. And it's okay that life isn't always getting better. I'm Kate Bowler, and on Everything Happens, I speak with kind, smart, funny people about life as it really is. Beautiful, terrible, and everything in between. Let's be human together. Everything Happens is available wherever you get your podcasts.
If you have a good mother, you know, truly like the one who does the best she can, like I'm not, again, not abusive, not narcissistic, not like that. And you are a man and you don't prioritize her and you don't make an effort for her. You don't make space for her. I don't love that. I don't. And these are red flags. Like, here's the thing. Somebody who used to be very close to me, who is not close to me anymore. Fuck it. My sister. Met somebody, and right away she had this narrative that his ex was crazy. And I'm like, that's a very skewed viewpoint.
Yeah.
When a man tells you his ex is crazy, he probably drove her there.
Or they had like disagreements.
Or they had, right. Or he was mildly inconvenienced by her and like she didn't put up with his bullshit. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel. Like, I understand that there are Amber Heard, Johnny Depp situations, absolutely, where men are taken advantage of or they're abused or whatever, like, right? And the right. relationship can get very volatile and dangerous and not healthy for anyone. But typically, 9 times out of 10, when a man immediately tells you his ex is crazy, his baby mama's crazy, his whatever, you know, I'm like, nope, red flag. Because you don't have the emotional maturity to fucking deal with the women in your life. And if they're a problem for you, they're definitely going to be a problem for me.
And if all of his exes are crazy, that flag is dark, dark red or bright red or whatever, and you need to flee. Because that's not a path. There's a common denominator there. And it's him.
Yes. And it's him. So another red flag is avoidance. We are suffering chronically as a nation from avoidance because we are called to be woke to so many causes, to so many cares, to so many issues. Every day we are required to be outraged about something else or we don't care. That is how it feels. So what has become is we have literally become chronic avoiders. That is a red flag. I'm sorry. I know it's a survival skill, and many of us are in chronic avoidance to survive, but it is a red flag. You cannot avoid finding things on your child's iPad. You cannot avoid feeling that your spouse is having an affair or mismanaging finances or losing their job or abusing alcohol. You cannot avoid difficult conversations with your best friend because it is whatever. There's a situation happening right now in my lap. My phone is in my chair. Jackson doesn't know this. My producer, Steve, doesn't know this. There is an emotional manipulation happening to me right now in my chair, in my text messages. And it is a conversation that I have to fucking have, that I don't want to have, and I want to avoid at all fucking costs. And I'm angry, and I can feel myself getting angrier. I'm disappointed.
Well, I hope when we're off mic, I can help ease that a little bit and we can talk about it. But I had a similar thing recently where I was avoiding a big conversation with my brother. And then when I did have it, he was like, "You're right." And it was the easiest thing in the world. I mean, there were other stuff where we were arguing about at this, like, simultaneously. But with that thing, he was like, "You're right. And we're working on it." And to avoid things is doing yourself a disservice, but it is telling everyone else, "Here's my red flag."
Yep. And that's where I'm at. And as I have these conversations, and the reason why I wanted to do a season two of this podcast, and the reason that we're doing Let's Talk, is to have the conversations we wish we had when we needed them. And this is a conversation that I believe we are in a crisis right now. We can post all of the, you know, if you're feeling suicidal, call this number. If you need this, do this. If you have, but we're not actually addressing the red flags. Mm-hmm. We're not actually acknowledging them and doing the work and taking the steps. It is I'm so honestly disappointed in myself right now. Because I talk the talk so often, and I have these conversations with people, and I pour into others, and then I don't follow my own advice. And then the avoidance of these conversations become emergent, because then you're dealing with emergent situations.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I want people to understand as it's happening to me in real time. As you are ignoring red flags, as you are avoiding conversations, the situations go from being manageable, even sometimes avoidable, to emergent, because you let it go on for so fucking long, and it is so anyway. I am trying to alert you to the red flags that you are ignoring, red flags. And I am trying to warn people that the crisis we are in, that the avoidance crisis we are in, is leading to substance abuse, mental health issues, worse things. We have gone from an "if you see something, say something" society to look away at all costs. Ignore. Put your head down, say nothing, don't engage, don't have the hard conversations, don't do the work, because we are all in self-preservation mode. We are all just fucking doggy paddling to stay afloat. And I am a predominantly happy person. I am happy 93% of the time. I'm joyful, I'm funny, I'm loving, I'm happy, and yet I am still avoiding so many important conversations and so many red flags, and I'm angry and I'm frustrated, and I am angry at people who can't life the way I life. And not everybody has the capacity. And because I'm not willing to have the uncomfortable conversations, I find myself dealing with people in crisis all the fucking time who cannot manage their fucking lives. What is the thing teachers used to say? Lack of preparation on your part does not constitute an emergency on mine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess fucking what? Ignoring the red flags on your part will constitute an emergency on your part.
Absolutely.
And that is the truth. And so the purpose of this conversation is to stay. Take stock of your life, people. Take stock of the red flags. Acknowledge what you are ignoring. And make a plan to address it. Because the conversations you are avoiding today are the problems and the emergent situations that will hurt you tomorrow. And this is just the fucking truth. And I literally cannot believe this is happening in real time while we are having this conversation. You can't write this shit.
Pretty incredible.
You cannot fucking write it.
Do not let these things go unaddressed. I say that to you, and I say it to the audience. They will fester.
Oh, they grow.
Mm-hmm.
They smolder. The amount of warning alert signs that we are getting that we are ignoring because we're exhausted. And I'm telling you now, do you want to deal with a faulty plug or a fucking house fire? That's where we are. That's just it.
Mm-hmm.
You avoid the problems in your marriage. You avoid the hard conversations. Deal with the fucking divorce. That's it. You don't want to have the hard conversations in your friendships. You don't deal with doing what I have to do, cutting people off, ghosting them, avoiding them, disappearing, blocking them because I can't have the fucking hard conversations. It's ridiculous. It's a crisis in this country. I'm very interested, very, to hear what you guys have to say, how you feel, where you are. Are you a red flag avoider? Are you in crisis? What's happening?
Are you wearing rose-colored glasses?
Are you wearing rose-colored glasses so that all flags just look like flags? Let Jackson and I know. It feels like there's so much out there about men's hair troubles. Thinning, balding, you name it, they have some pro athlete as a spokesperson for it. I myself have struggled with hair thinning, and since women tend to be ignored in this sphere, I didn't know where to start looking for treatments. I've talked before about my hair that's growing back. Hello, growth. And I've been using this serum that's pretty amazing. It's called Revela, and their serums have been game-changing for so many women. This brand is a beauty brand, but it's amazing because it was actually started by scientists from Harvard, Princeton, and MIT. The pandemic forced these scientists out of their labs where they were doing research in cancer therapies and new drug discovery. So they started exploring industries where they thought the customers could use a little transparency and actual science. It's a topical serum, not something you ingest, so it only targets your hair. They've conducted thousands of laboratory tests and used artificial intelligence to find the best, safest main ingredient of their serum, Procellinol, which has never been used before to help with hair loss or thinning. They used AI technology to analyze real hair cells and find out what actually contributes to hair growth. The serum is toxin-free, paraben-free, and hormone-free. I have been using Revela for just over a month, and it's been frankly surreal to watch my hairline move. It looks like I just somehow grew more hair. Hello, yay for growth. I don't know how exactly it happened, but it's been incredible. They also have a growth concentrate, an oil-based spot treatment that pairs with the serum and targets specific zones where you might be thinning. People who always play with one part of their hair, I'm looking at you. Because their whole thing is that they're backed by scientific data, they offer a killer guarantee too. If you basically just take a selfie on day one, use the product every day, and after 90 days aren't seeing results, they'll give you your money back. Every company should be doing this. We have partnered with them on this, and they are offering my listeners and fans 15% off using code Jamie. As always, we thank you for listening. We thank you for being part of the conversation, for sharing, liking, subscribing, all the things. Thank you to our sponsors. We will be back next week with a new episode of Let's Talk. Let's Talk is a Lemonada Media original. Our producers are Jorge Olivares and Dani Macias. Executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax, Jessica Cordova-Kramer, and Jamie Premack Sullivan. Mix and scoring is by Brian Castillo. Music is by Dan Molad. Please help others find the show by rating and reviewing wherever you listen. Catch my series Coffee Talk on the Jamie Premack Sullivan Facebook page. I'm also on Twitter at Jamie Premack and on Instagram at Jamie P. Sullivan. And follow at Lemonada Media across all social platforms. If you want more Let's Talk, visit Lemonada Premium only on Apple Podcasts.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere? And suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time. Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out on April 24th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Last Day is a show about the moments that change us.
I just don't think I will ever get used to this.
I'm Stephanie Wittles-Wax, and I have had one of these moments. We all have. So let's unpack the chaos that is our human existence together.
I don't believe things happen for a reason. I don't believe the universe has a plan.
Each week, I sit down with a new guest to explore happy, sad stories of transformation.
It's leaning far, far into the pain. That's what it is.
Listen to Last Day wherever you get your podcasts.